Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Didier Lamouche, who is the president and CEO of Obithur Technologies. Hi, Didier. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. It's a pleasure.
So we're here to talk about EMV, and I thought that we'd start the conversation with the perspective that Obithur brings to EMV around the conversation that is mobile. And when I was preparing for this interview, I went to your website, and I was surfing your site, and I came across a phrase that went as follows: your mobile is your everything. So tell me what makes EMV relevant in a mobile world.
Yeah. First, let's talk 2 seconds about mobile. Actually, it's a misnomer on the one that mobile takes today a central place in everyday life. Mobility has become a way of life. And me personally, coming from the smartphone space, I'm certainly not going to deny that, right? And I would like simply to mention one example that I very often give. Everyone leaving his home and forgetting his, let's say, his keys, his credit card, maybe it's even his PC, is seldomly coming back. Whenever you forget your smartphone or your phone, you go back.
That's true.
Pick it up.
That's true.
Right? And I'm sure you experience that also. So it's kind of normal that we, as old companies who are intending to bring new use cases, new freedom to the consumer, has to develop offers around the mobile. That's first. Second, when it comes to developing new use cases, clearly the payment use case is a key one. Because that's probably one of the things we do the most often in everyday's life. Okay? So that's obvious to me that we need to bring payment to the mobile space. Now, the third point is how to do that or how to unleash the potential. If I speak based on my personal experience, I have spent quite some time in the IT space. And what struck me in the 90s is the fact that what really unleashed or revealed the potential of IT was really interoperability. Between standards, between equipment, between system, and the whole, I would say, IT service companies industry has been actually created in order to promote interoperability. If closer from us, you look at what happened in the early 21st century, why mobile communication has risen so quickly, especially in Europe, it's because interoperability was built in the system, especially behind the GSM system. And even if the GSM was maybe not the best standard, and I want to compare to CDMA, for example, the fact that it became very quickly a standard made mobile communication really pervasive very quickly in Europe. So the answer, my answer is why EMV for mobility? Because EMV is a standard. Whether we like it or not, it has become a worldwide standard. And if you want to bring payment into the mobile space, you have to base your payment on a very solid, proven, and existing standard. And today, this standard, which has proven maybe not the best, huh? That's not the issue, that's not the question, but who has proven to be the most pervasive today in the payment world is EMV. So I think those are the reasons why I believe EMV is really relevant in the mobile world. I mean, I don't know what you think, but
I think that's a good point. I mean, I do think that standards are very important, and in large measure, the lack of standards around mobile has held a lot of progress back, because I think merchants really want to know what is the standard, what should I be investing in, and the absence of clarity around that really, I think, has been a contributing factor for mobile not moving as quickly as we'd like it to move. So on that note, though, how would you rate the readiness of EMD in the United States? And I suspect I know what your answer is going to be. So I'm going to ask you as a follow-up, what could improve the readiness of EMD in the U.S.?
Well, I think clearly we have seen the target breach as a real wake-up call for everyone. It's really the spark, you say, I think, right? The spark which has really initiated the whole the movement. And actually, that's very interesting because if you allow me to tell you a story, when I took my job at Overture, it was in April last year. The first thing I did is, in order to take benefit of the very good condition of the financial market, I started to do a tour on all financial institutions in order to renegotiate the financing condition around the company. You know. And very often, and I got one question from a key analyst, I think it was from Goldman Sachs, this company, and he said, oh, look, we are waiting for 20 years for EMB to come in the U.S. When will it come? What will happen? My answer was very simple. It was knowing a bit the American culture, because I had the chance to spend quite some time in the U.S., working with the U.S. culture, but also with other cultures. I said, look, Visa and MasterCard and Amex have decided the liability shift by October 2015. So I believe that something is going to move. Is it going to move as quickly as that? I don't know. But it's for sure is that if anything big, any breach or anything important happens between that, it will be a tsunami, because the New Orleans effect. We know that there is a risk, but once the risk has revealed to be real, then the U.S. are probably the most reactive economy and culture I have ever seen. And that was in June last year. And that's exactly what happened with the target breach. I think all the conditions were potentially there to see an EMV migration in the U.S., but we were missing the spark. Now, I think coming to your question, how do we raise the state of readiness? I think there is a clear willingness now from the CEOs, from the boardrooms, to make it happen. If you look in terms of infrastructure, I think the infrastructure is probably the best it has ever been, with the top 10 retailers who are now equipped with BPOS. I think the last number I know, which I read, but you probably know that better than me, 25% of the people in the U.S. are EMV enabled. I think on the issuer side, we and our competitors, I believe, are accelerating our investment there. You probably know that Overture, we have a facility in which we are doubling basically the capacity forward to be able to serve the market. On our personal center seat, the deal that we made with First Data back in November last year was exactly to accelerate all the adoption, because I am a strong believer that technology cannot make it all, but ecosystem creation are clearly an answer. And the reason why we entered in a partnership with First Data was really to create a form of ecosystem. Third point, at the consumer level, I think, and I read a very interesting statistic coming from the CEO of MasterCard. He told me that 65% of the population now knows about the arrival of chip cards. The consumer are asking for it. So I think there is a real momentum coming. What could improve it, Karen? I believe, if you allow me to be a bit provocative, I still read some skepticism about the fact that we should or not migrate to EMV, or we should leapfrog and go directly to the next technology. I think, and frankly, if you allow me, I am a bit surprised to see in the US culture those kind of questions being at this point in time asked. I would not be surprised to see those questions in France being raised, because the French are typically very good at re-questioning a decision that has already been made, you know. But normally in the U.S. culture, and the decision of when they're feeling that, everybody goes. So I think what could improve the situation is actually to put all those questions behind. Yes, EMV may not necessarily be the best of breed, etc. We could always improve. But I think we should all go with one voice and say, okay, let's migrate, let's go. I think that's probably what could improve it, as you asked me the question.
So DDA, I think I'm one of those people who writes things like that as a way to stimulate conversation about the topic. And I think one of the things that, you know, to your Goldman example of, you know, it will be 20 years before we see EMV take hold in the U.S., I think one of the things that people still have concerns about is the migration path and the time before all the merchants that need to be enabled with EMV will actually be enabled. And I think, you know, the dilemma that a lot of merchants are trying to sort through, especially the smaller merchants, are the cost versus benefit versus time frame at a point in time when there are just a lot of investments in mobile. So I think it's a fair, I think it's a fair issue to be, you know, to be talked about, you know, notwithstanding the other points that you made, which is it is the standard, it is what the networks are behind. I still think the idea of it will be a 10-year path to getting all of these guys on board is a reality that we just have to all face and figure out what to do about.
No, I think, Karen, I'm fully with you, and I apologize if I teased you a bit, but I think it was good to bring a bit of, controversy maybe, or teasing in the discussion. And I recognize that the fact that the migration might be so costly and so long is obviously raising questions, and those questions are excellent. However, having said that, I think... In the U.S. market, they have the opportunity to migrate to the latest version of the EMV standard and technology. They have absolutely the opportunity to benefit from all the learning that has been done in many other countries of the world where the migration has been maybe more costly than what it will be in the U.S. And they have the ability in the U.S. to migrate to enable, I mean, mobile payments using the same EMV POS infrastructure. So, and my comment on the U.S. was I know for a fact that when the U.S. my culture decide to move, they move faster and in a more efficient way than anybody else in the world. And being able to combine the best online checking, I don't want to say surveillance, like the system that has been created through time to make sure any given person is not, any given person who is buying something is not abusing a card he has stolen. If you combine the system, the best of breed system, networking system, online system that the U.S. has built through time with the EMV fraud, technology is probably the way to bring the U.S. back at the first step of the security ladder, I would say. But I think your point is extremely valid. Very good to make sure that all the questions are answered and we understand what we are doing clearly. Yeah.
So maybe DDA, I have a little French in me after all. You never know. I'll always questioning things. Let's move on to something that you said, which is ecosystems and the latest version of the EMV standard, which is the opportunity that the U.S. has, and that makes me think about HCE. So, what is your view of HCE, and how will Obisur support HCE if that is in fact something you think is a technology that should be deployed as part of mobile EMV?
Yeah, this is a very good question. I think first, you cannot speak about HCE without talking about NFC or the other technologies which are enabling mobile payments. I think the industry has made a mistake, to be honest, in the past in promoting NFC payments for too long and not being able to bring it efficiently and quick to the customer. And when you do that, and we can discuss about the reason why this has taken too long. Maybe initially it was a technology issue. Now I think technology problems are behind us. Second, it has been, I believe, a business model issue, because what I can see is that still today we have discussion between telecom operators, banks, OEMs, schemes, who's gonna share the benefit, who's gonna share the gain, right? When you do that, nothing moves. And when you have such a situation happening and there is no valid solution being brought to life, obviously there is a competing solution which are pushed by contenders of the race. I think to me this is one of the reasons why she was brought forward. If the ecosystem between telecom banks and the payment would have found a way push more quickly the NFC SIM-based or OEM-based technologies, probably the HCE would not have occurred. Now, today, I believe it's an interesting technology to bring mobile payments live. I think the merit I see is that it's clearly shaking the overall ecosystem. And what we see, Karen, on the market is that the business actors who are almost ready to bring NFC SIM or NFC SIM or ESC based to the market, they push, they go faster because they see HC as a threat, and that's good, that's moving the ecosystem. And the others who are not ready, they are seriously contemplating HC. What we do at Auberture, basically, we believe that I don't believe we will have one system which will prevail overall in the world. So we are investing in all technology flavors, at least the three or four main ones, in order to enable our customers who want to choose NFC SIM or NFC EAC or NFC HD. What we believe is that we will have a fragmentation of the market globally. Some countries will probably be centric around the NFC SIM or NFC EAC, like China, for example, or Australia, or Europe. Some other countries maybe will be more the EAC ecosystem maybe prevail. Understanding also that there is a long way before seeing an HCE ecosystem which has demonstrated robustness, security, and proven. So that's a bit what we see today. But I think definitely HCE is a very interesting technology.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Discussion with several of the brands in order to bring HCE pilot to life and to make it to make a solid demonstration before the end of the year.
I mean, one of the things that I was going to ask you is whether you see HCE as a mechanism for enabling a mobile EMV standard in markets where cards broadly adopted really isn't feasible given the lack of point-of-sale infrastructure. You mentioned China, but certainly Africa and some of the other developing, very third-world developing nations that have access to mobile but not necessarily infrastructure to power point-of-sale as we know it today. Is that why you're taking the approach which is, as you just described, supporting a lot of different flavors around an EMV standard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I fully agree with what you said. The adoption of such offset technology will be based on different market conditions. We see in Africa where, for example, you have a very deep penetration of mobile and very low penetration of banks. Clearly, HT will be clearly one strong contender, probably also in the U.S. U.S., culturally speaking, is more cloud-based in culture than the rest of the world. I wouldn't be surprised to see HT picking up first in the U.S. Than in the rest of the world also. And that's exactly why we are, because we are a global player, and we want to be able to offer a global solution to our customer. For example, when you have the leading bank in the world, not to name them, as a customer, they want a provider which is providing them a global solution. And they want you to be able to address their need in Africa, in the U.S., in Europe, independently or agnostically, I would say, compared to the technology. So, yeah, this is exactly why we do that.
So one of the last topics that I wanted to get your perspective on is the idea of authenticating the consumer and also protecting cardholder data at the point of sale. And those are obviously related, but they're quite different in terms of solutions and what is required to actually create an environment where that is done safely, securely, and efficiently. Maybe you could speak for a minute about the role of Obather's technology solutions in actually addressing those two things.
You mean in the identification of the customer? I'm not sure I got your...
In terms of authenticating the customer. I mean, that is one of the things that when people talk about securing cardholder transactions and protecting against fraud, it starts with, is that really the customer that we think it is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all technology like encryption, tokenization are clearly part of the solution. One thing which is interesting and we are working on at the moment with a few telecom operators is what we call mobile connect or mobile ID. How to make sure that the customer, which is your point, which is actually paying, is really the one that you believe is. And I think operators, for example, have a big role to play here because obviously everyone needs to go to a store to authenticate for the first time in order to get access to mobile network. And they can use that authentication and encrypt it hard in a chip, which could be a SIM card, in order to verify the identity of the person. Another thing on which we work on, I'm a firm believer of biometrics as a way to authenticate people, not only because it's a solid credential to authenticate people, because it's convenient also. And I think any company who will be able to bring strong authentication like biometrics together with payment services and mobile services will be winning in that race. And we are clearly working on those type of technologies clearly today. For example, we were one of the first in our industry to be part of FIDO as a company because I think first, I like the FIDO initiative. Second, we think we need to create some form of a standard for the same reason we mentioned before, if we want it to grow rapidly. And third, FIDO is really gathering today many companies who are important in the mobile payment, ecosystem. So I'm a strong believer of FIDO.
So I think the last question, Didier, is really almost where we started. And, you know, we had a little bit of teasing back and forth about EMV and should we or shouldn't we. I mean, the fact is that we are. And I think That said, there are still a lot of things that merchants and issuers remain confused over, because it isn't just a single thing that merchants need to think about in order to protect what happens at the point of sale and with their customer. There are many things that they have to actually think about and implement in unison. But from your perspective, what do you think the biggest misunderstanding is about EMV today? And then what are you guys at Obather doing to try to correct that misunderstanding?
Yeah, that's a very good question. First, it will relate to what we did. First, I would like to say, Karen, the teasing and all the challenging is a very, very good way to force us to force the whole industry, even in an environment where, if I'm talking about EMV, we have already migrated maybe 75% of the world in terms of numbers of countries. It's very good that we get that teasing, because it's forcing us to ask ourselves the right questions. The right questions. So I thank you again for that discussion. And again, I think if we would have got more teasing before, we would have avoided, I think, what you call a misunderstanding, or what I call a misunderstanding. And I get to your question. I think, and again, because I'm new in the industry and I ask myself the same question when I join, I say, why has the U.S. not migrated, whereas the rest of the world has already migrated? Why is that? So I ask many questions. I ask to my people, to customers, to journalists. And I think my conclusion at this point in time is the following. I believe we made a mistake as an industry, as a security industry, let's say, trying, quote-unquote, to sell or to promote EMV in the U.S. based on a fraud or anti-fraud business case. When I was listening to my salespeople, they were basically trying to convince their customer to migrate to EMV because it would reduce the fraud, all the fraud impact. The problem is that, especially in the U.S., the fraud has been, compensated. All this online system for so long compensated the fraud risk. And second, it was kind of embedded in the business case globally. So if you want to change that, you need to bring something new, something additional. And I think that the mistake we did, or the misunderstanding so far, is we are trying to sell the system to against fraud. What we should have done maybe is actually to promote the idea that first, not necessarily EMV, but the chip technology in payment is a bit more interactive. With the customer, you can load, you can do many, many other things with a chip than simply securing or encrypting. You can load coupons, you can load offers on the chip, you can many other types of IDs. Okay. And the second thing we should have pushed more is the brand value, the trust and the brand value to protect the brand of our customer, and not only to reduce the fraud in terms of dollars. And I think the reason why the card target breach has been such a spark is because it has translated at the end of the day, not in a dollar question, but in a brand question. Can a customer afford to have his brand damaged by a breach like the one we have seen? And to me, that was a misunderstanding. If you allow me to portray that this way, but I would be really glad to hear your comments about this idea, Karen.
Well, I think that's a really interesting observation, and you probably do bring a very different perspective as someone from the mobile space, but certainly not from the payment space. Into this conversation within Obather. I do think that there was a lot of pushback because in the U.S., the fraud problem certainly wasn't where it was decades ago when EMV was a solution to a very critical fraud problem and really did a lot to solve that problem in Europe and other parts of the world. I think you're right. The reason that merchants are very motivated now is they've seen the the fraud, the breach, but they've seen the impact on sales, on trust, on customers' reaction to the brand of merchants that have been part of the breach. And those consequences are very real. It's about loss of sales, it's about loss of trust, and no one wants that after having worked so hard to earn that with the customer over time. So, you know, I think that that's a really important point to be made, and certainly a valid proposition to be talking to merchants about. Are you talking that way now to your customers?
Absolutely. We are talking that way, definitely. And I am telling them, you know, yes, it's a question of brand, it's a question of image. And also, it's a fantastic stepping stone to a place where you will have to go as a merchant one day, which is the migration to mobile payment. This is a stepping stone. Need a step. You need a step. And take it now, because then if you take it now, you will be the first to enable your customer to migrate to mobile, and then it will be also a brand booster. Because every retailer who can promote mobile payment to his customer will be clearly seen as a leader on his market and in terms of image.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I do think that the timing of the breach, no one could have predicted that. Although it sounds like you know, it was bound to happen, and your words were very prescient back in June when you were speaking with the analyst. I think, you know, it is something that has put the issue front and center in the conversation mix with merchants at exactly the same time that they really do believe that mobile is their future. And it isn't just about using mobile to pay. It's about using mobile to engage in a conversation with their customers. And that's why merchants want mobile so badly. And so the question that all the merchants are wrestling with right now, and you've heard it from them and I've heard it from them, is I need to do this, but I don't want it to get in the way of my ambition to move into a mobile world, because I'm doing that for a valid business reason, because I want to understand my consumer, I want to be able to communicate with them, because at the end of the day, I'm in the business of selling things to them, and this just makes it easier for me to do that in a way that is a device, a mechanism that they have with them all the time. So that's the other piece of the message that I think, you know, needs to be communicated as part of the conversation about EMV. How does it help not interfere with what merchants really want, and that is a mobile future?
Absolutely. And we should stop talking about mobile payment. We should talk about mobile commerce, right?
Yep.
And EMV is a brick into that, but let's forget about it. The same way today that we forget the metric system versus the inch or the... I mean, it's a way to measure. We should talk about M-commerce, and that's it. And that's it.
Well, Didier, it's been a pleasure to have this opportunity to speak with you about a topic that is obviously very much on everyone's mind in payments, in mobile, in commerce, in retail, and just about every facet of our ecosystem. And I really enjoyed the opportunity. I hope we get the chance to do it again soon. Thank you.
Absolutely, Karen. Thank you for your sparing partnership.
Thank you.